Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Love Sunday evenings.
Proclaiming God's Word.
Woo!
In all of its truth.
Yes, and boy, we've done a lot of Holy Spirit Pentecost things over the last few weeks.
Yes,
which is good. This is an exciting time of year, you know, if you're in a Pentecostal charismatic type of place.
Yeah. And you know, the exciting news is, from the day that the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles to our current day.
Yeah.
He hasn't left us.
That's right. He didn't stop working at the end of the first century.
That's true.
Didn't stop working when the canon was closed.
Nope.
Didn't stop working when the last apostle died.
Nope.
That's a good point.
Yep. Didn't stop working because your pastor doesn't believe in him.
Yes. Yep. There are many Christians that think the Holy Spirit doesn't really do anything anymore.
Yeah. Kind of sitting on the sidelines.
But I guess I never gave it much thought till I was a believer and then baptized in the Spirit.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, usually once the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of you, then you're like, oh, wow, I never realized all this.
Yeah, for sure.
The Holy Spirit makes you aware of the workings of God. You're more aware of them. You're more in tune with what's going on.
Oh, wow, that's for sure. And it comes into, well, I mean, you can go back to the book of Romans, which I'm not sure why that's not my favorite book, but it's pretty close to Hebrews is my favorite book. But in the book of Romans, you know, Paul writes that we don't even know how to pray.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and out come all these groanings and utterances. And
He makes intercession for us.
Yeah. Yes. Because let's face it, if we pray on our own devices, what do? Oh Lord, give me this, give me that. Don't let this happen. You know, help. You know, you have a whole list for what I call the cosmic bellhop of, you know, here's the things I need. So if you could like get on this right away, and preferably by tomorrow evening, I'd like all this stuff resolved. So that would be, I don't want to wait for the answer either.
Yeah, God's this cosmic fire extinguisher.
Yes, that's good.
Lord, I got a fire over here in order for there to put it out.
Yeah, it's like the three guys in the book of Daniel, they get thrown into the fire. And it's like, they literally got delivered by the guy who was down there with them. But we can't even stand to have, you know, some little trouble going on. We want God to intervene.
I was going to ask you, did you hear that report of this guy that was set on fire by...
Yes.
And he didn't get burned?
Yes.
He was set on fire, by ISIS?
Yes. People,
and he didn't get burned?
Yes.
I think he was set on fire a couple times. Yeah. You heard of that report, too?
Yes. I didn't hear all the details, but I saw it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That would be truly amazing. That would be truly an act of God.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like, you know, Daniel being in the,
the three
Shadrach,
boys.
Meshach, and Abednego being in the fiery furnace.
But last week we talked about Peter starting to boldly proclaim the gospel and boldly proclaim the scriptures after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we certainly, you know, how many times have you heard people say, well, you know, when I read the Bible, I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. I don't know what any of that stuff means. I get confused by all the names and stuff. And yeah, it can be confusing, and there's some, you know, things that are not crystal clear, and there's things that could be interpreted different ways. But, you know, when you ask the author of the book, who's the Holy Spirit, who basically breathed out the word, Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, that he will give you an understanding of it.
Yes.
So if we don't know how to pray without the Spirit interceding, we certainly don't know how to study the Word without the Spirit interceding. And so these are things that, and Peter was a great example, and basically all these people, they were impacted to Pentecost, were an example, but it doesn't stop there.
Right.
It goes on and on. And here we are in the 21st century where there's still people being inspired by the Holy Spirit to make a bold statement, to proclaim the gospel, to go according to God's plan to wherever it is they're destined to go.
Right.
And they obey.
Mm-hmm.
And they're moved by the Spirit, motivated by the Spirit, emboldened by the Spirit, just like Peter and these other guys were.
Right.
We see that happen today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there had to be times where Billy Graham was on the road and he probably thought to himself, I just want to go home. I'm just like sick and tired of, I can't even deal with going to one more meeting or one more stadium or, but then the next night there he was at some other stadium, some other revival or whatever it is, because he's emboldened to do what his mission is.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody probably goes to some, does that confronts them at some point in ministry because, if you're at times we try to take on ministry ourselves and it can tax us and exhaust us.
Yes.
And then when you're taxed and exhausted, you go, oh, you know, Lord, I'm really, really just burnt out here. And
yes.
Then you kind of step back and then it's like, that's where God wants you at because now you're surrendering again.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's being in that place of surrender to God that allows God to move and work and fulfill his plan and his mission. You have to respond to God,
mm-hmm.
but you can't take charge of God.
Yes.
You know, and we like to do that. We love to take charge of God and God, I got this great idea, man. It's going to be, it's going to be fabulous.
So just bless it.
Yeah. You know, and then I think sometimes God might be like, okay, let me know how that works out for you. You know? If you want to go ahead, but that's not going to be good for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we've talked about this many, many times on the show about how the transformation that takes place in the apostles as the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Because in the early church, and I think this is very important for people to know and understand, is that the first believers understood that what they shared in, they weren't just called Christians because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah or that they accepted him as their Lord and Savior. They also understood and knew that they shared in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that came upon Christ in the Jordan.
Yes.
To raise the dead, heal the sick, give sight to the blind, let the lame walk and the deaf hear.
Yes.
They understood this mm-hmm. and they believed it with all their being.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true for us today. Mm-hmm. It's just been kind of poo-pooed in our culture that, oh, that's, you know, that spirituality stuff, that religious stuff, you know, mm-hmm. we're past that. We have yes. science now. We have all these other things now.
We've evolved past that.
Yeah. You know, that's, you know, you're holding on to traditions.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that. And that's dangerous talk because it diminishes the mighty works of God. It diminishes the promise of God that Jesus spoke of and foretold and was fulfilled at Pentecost
mm-hmm.
of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
as Jesus spoke about and was prophesied in the book of Joel.
Yes.
So it's important. Father Cantalamessa has an excellent book on the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus that really details this in great, mm-hmm. he explains it in great detail, I should say. It's a wonderful book, The Holy Spirit in the Life of Jesus. If you want to get a copy of it, look it up online and get a copy of it and read it.
And he is a man who is truly filled with the Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah. Oof. Oh yeah. If you've ever heard him talk and yeah, I mean, he speaks and you're just like
mesmerized. Yes.
I mean, you are really fed spiritually when you listen to him do a teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But The challenge today is no different than in the time of the apostles because people, they don't believe. They don't want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. I'm doing okay on my own. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
I haven't killed anybody. That's true, but you know,
yes.
you have, you, everyone, every one of us has a sin problem.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of us needs redemption
yes.
through the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There's no escaping that.
When you look at sources of power, you know, you can have a big, powerful, beautiful flashlight,
mm-hmm.
and the power in your house goes out, and you get the flashlight, but if there's no batteries in it,
yeah.
it's just as dark as it was before you flipped the switch.
<That's> true.
You know, or if your cell phone, you know, you may have the world's most awesome cell phone.
Yeah.
But if the battery wears out and you don't have a charger.
It's of no use to you.
You don't have the power to keep it going.
True.
And it's the same in the spiritual life as if we get to the scripture we're going to read. But, you know, it's a matter of without the Spirit, we get fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
We get ineffective.
Yeah.
We get, I don't know, irritated with our surroundings.
Yeah.
We get say, oh, we have to do this again. You know, we have to go talk to those people again.
Yeah.
And I think I had enough of that last week. But without the Spirit, that you're in your humanity, and this is why, of course, as we always say, Jesus gave those apostles the Great Commission
mm-hmm.
and didn't say, go out right now and start doing the stuff. Yeah, just go out and, you know, I'm going to ascend to heaven now, but as soon as you see me disappear, go out and start doing the whatever, go preach.
Right.
He said, no, you got to wait here until you're clothed with power.
Yeah.
Because if they would have gone out and started preaching on their own, imagine what would have happened. Would have been a disaster.
Servant girl would have came up to Peter and he would have been like, okay, I'm not going to talk anymore. I'll go away.
Peter wouldn't have known Joel from Isaiah.
Yeah. We better be careful. We're gonna meet him one day, hopefully.
Yeah, but he likes me. He's
wouldn't have known Joel from Isaiah, huh?
Yeah, he said I met them both after I died.
I heard that.
Yeah, but he's perfectly happy now, so he can put up with me.
That's true.
So when not only did and again, we have to emphasize it applies to us, not just to them. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to sound like, well, in the first century, they did all this awesome stuff, but
right.
we haven't done anything. It just still applies across the board 20 centuries later. But these people that were in that upper room were not only emboldened to speak and to preach and to quote scripture, but you see a total change in their life.
Yeah.
You know, you never hear Peter say, you know what? I think I'm going to go back to Galilee and go fishing again.
No.
Like he
no,
does
you
in
don't.
John 21. I don't know what to do with myself, so I might as well go fishing.
Yeah.
You know, John doesn't walk around saying, I don't know. We had fun while Jesus was here, but since then it's, I don't know. I don't know what to do with myself. It's been kind of a bummer.
Well, like the guys on the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
You don't hear any stories of that after the Holy Spirit falls upon them.
That's right. Exactly.
They're not wandering around lost.
Exactly.
And wondering what to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And nobody is in the upper room with the doors barred anymore.
Right.
Afraid of what's going to happen or afraid of a chief priest sending somebody to arrest them.
Exactly.
And when they confront the chief priest and the Sanhedrin, they boldly say what they're going to say
mm-hmm.
as the Spirit directs them. Because Jesus himself told them, when people question you, when you're on trial, don't worry about what you're going to say.
Right.
The Spirit's going to say, tell right. you what to say. And mm-hmm. boy, we saw that with Peter, Pentecost. The other people did similar things. It's not documented exactly
right.
what the rest of them did that morning. But I'm sure Peter was not the only one who was out there preaching. But then it continues, and we were, I think, going to get to the end of Acts chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, Steve, why did you read? I don't know. Let's see. Maybe from 40 down?
Sure. He testified with many other arguments referring back to Peter, that he testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's need. Every day, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exaltation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Wow.
Yeah. Every day.
Every day. So this wasn't limited to Pentecost Day. Then the day after Pentecost, as you said, they just started wandering around again saying, no, well, now what do we do? And it's before we go into that, I think it's interesting that we were talking before the show about save yourself from this perverse generation. We're certainly living in a perverse generation.
Yeah.
And we're to the point now where there's darkness and there's light and there's very little sort of twilight in between.
Very little gray area.
There's
darkness
and there's light. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminds me I was almost going to say we don't talk about politics, but politics now is also black and white.
It's gotten that way.
But when a very important Democrat who considers herself a very faithful Roman Catholic makes a speech where she says, we in the Democratic Party are doing the Lord's work, that not only raises eyebrows, but somebody posted that on a Facebook post, and then there was a picture of another guy who is sitting at a table saying, I'm not a priest or anything, but I'm pretty sure that doing late-term abortions is not doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, you know, St. Paul talks about this in when it's in Romans, where they've become fools.
Yes.
Their mind
one.
Becomes dark.
Yes.
They so flatter themselves with their own.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, I'm so intellectually smart.
Yeah.
They become fools.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about the separation from light and darkness, I was thinking about, you know, in aeronautics, you learn about, the sunrise. There's civil twilight, nautical twilight, and astronomical twilight. And the difference is, if you're not familiar with this, is that at every 6-degree interval after the sun sets, there's less light as the sun goes down. Mm. But at every 6-degree interval, when the sun's 6 degrees below the horizon, that's the end of civil twilight. Mm. When it's 12 degrees below the horizon, that's nautical twilight. And when it's 18 degrees below the twilight, that's astronomical twilight. After 18 degrees, you can no longer see the light of the sun in the sky.
Huh.
So there's that gradual separation between light and darkness as we see every day in the evening time and every day before the sun comes up. You know, it takes about roughly hour and a half for all that to happen.
Hmm.
But as you're talking about light and darkness, that just struck me, because there's a gradual separation between the day and the night.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing in our culture now is a stark contrast between light, darkness.
Mm.
Truth, lies.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's been severed in two.
Mm.
Sheep and goats.
Mm.
You know, and people will go, well, you can't judge people. You don't know what's in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I rob a bank, can you judge what's in my heart?
Yes.
You know, if I run a stop sign, can you judge what's in my heart? I really didn't care about the stop sign, and I didn't want to slow down.
Yeah.
Are you judging me?
Yeah.
You're certainly making an observation.
The policeman will judge you.
The policeman's going to make an observation. He's going to tell me I did something wrong. But in the church today, I hear people going, well, I can't tell them they're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Since when?
Yeah.
Did Jesus going around telling people, well, you know, I know you're caught in adultery, and I really don't want to say that's a sin, because I know it's going to affect your self-esteem, but please, 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 please don't do that anymore.
Yeah. I'm not going to condemn you. I don't want you to feel bad.
No, he told them, go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, a few times when he healed somebody, he said, and if you'd go back and do it again, you might have a worse situation on your hands.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's this is an example of the perverse generation that we're in. And when Peter says, get yourself out of that, you know, we're really, and I'm not suggesting everybody needs to, you know, move to a monastery or, You know, go live out in the mountains somewhere.
Right.
You can be in the world and not of the world.
We need to be the light in the darkness.
That's right. And
yeah.
We need to be very careful about where the darkness is and how to confront the darkness. Mm-hmm. Because if your main concern is, I don't want anybody to think I'm a kook. I don't want anybody to think I'm like some weirdo. You're not going to ever confront the darkness.
True.
But when you stand on the rock of truth and you say, well, I'm going to tell you what the truth is, regardless of what you think of me.
Yeah.
And that's what Peter did Pentecost morning.
Mm-hmm.
And right yeah. down to, there's nothing wrong with us telling somebody, we live in a perverse generation.
Yeah.
You know, if you have, you know, if you're born as a male, but you think you're a female, that's perverse thinking.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you make yourself into a female, because no matter how many hormones you take and how weird you look afterwards, each one of your cells is going to have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome.
Yeah.
You're still going to be male.
Your hormones don't change because you think you're something else.
Right.
Scientifically, you have to be given a different hormone for your yeah. for it to be overridden.
Yeah.
That's not natural.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's very perverse.
Very perverse.
Yeah.
And
that's trying to be normalized. That's trying to,
yes.
People are trying to make that normal in our society and go, well, you're just intolerant.
Yes.
What they want you to tolerate is all the perverse behaviors that lead to the death of the soul.
Yeah. There's demonic counterfeits being put up all around us,
right.
And we know that. And we have to deliver ourselves from that. And
yeah.
these guys, as you just read, after Pentecost, they came together as a group. And I'm not suggesting we form communes and, you know, because just send all your emails to Steve about that. But, you know, they came together.
Communes are us.
They came together in a certain way of prayer and fellowship and worship that helped them withstand what was going on around them. And they knew that to take this message of Messiah out into the world,
mm-hmm.
they had to first impact their own people, go to the temple and teach, then go to people's homes, say the prayers, break the bread. We have the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, mm-hmm. in your home. You have a prayer group in your home. You listen to what the apostles are teaching.
Yeah. And you know, it says here, and they devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the prayers were said in temple throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
There was morning prayer, afternoon prayer, late afternoon prayer, evening prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the church today carries on that tradition of that cycle of prayers, which is what we call the liturgy of the hours.
Mm-hmm.
Where the church is always at prayer. But one thing that I think was instilled in the apostles is that the Lord taught them to pray, mm-hmm. and the importance of praying and waiting on the Lord. Because you can't confront the evil of Satan by yourself. You're
yep.
a guaranteed casualty.
Yes.
You can only do it in the name and in the authority of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
And they devoted themselves as a community to this life, this apostolic life, to pray and seek God's will. I mean, it's saying that every day God added to them, the Lord added to their number.
Yes.
How many places do you see where people are being added to the Lord's number every day?
Yeah.
In our culture.
Because we've gotten away from the part of the verse before that. You know, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. It was like, oh, we're having this again to eat.
Now
I'm
we eat our food with grumbling
this.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sick of
discontent,
this to eat.
Yeah.
And, you know, if God really loved me, he'd give me a better job so I could eat better food.
In a lot of ways, we're almost like the Israelites
in the desert.
This yeah. quail, we're
yeah.
sick of this.
yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's a musical.
It is.
Wow. Well, this was interesting. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as the apostles devoted themselves to the communal life, that you too would pray and ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you in all truth and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord for the forgiveness of your sins through his cross, death, and resurrection. God bless everyone. Have a great day, a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.